Hello, welcome to Gator Raiders, the show for all your Gator sports information. This is the first time we're doing this, folks, so cut us some slack. My name is Joe Morgan of Gatorade.com, and I have here with me Will Smith and Griffin Tillis. So we'll start with you, Will. Will, how was your weekend?
It was pretty good. It was my birthday yesterday. I got to be in the Jumbotron at the Kentucky-Florida game, so that was fun.
All right. Griffin, how was your weekend?
It wasn't bad. I ended up scalping two tickets right outside the stadium. Ended up being on row 14. Got a pretty good view of the game over that fantastic win over those Kentucky Wildcats.
All right, sounds good. Yeah, I got my ticket on the Thursday, 6 o'clock, unclaimed sale. Boom, got it.
$10.
Right. Yeah, $10. All right, guys, well, let's go and get started. So Florida defeated Kentucky 48-14 Saturday. Looked really good. Offense looked great. So, you know, Will, what were your thoughts just on the game in general?
You know, I thought they looked a lot different than they have in the past three games. They finally scored in the first quarter, which is probably a milestone for this offense, first year without Tim Tebow. You know, they just looked like they were clicking. They looked like the Florida Gators is what I thought.
All right, Griffin?
You know, I really got to go with Will on that one. In the first few games I've been seeing, the games against Miami where we just couldn't get those snaps right, we couldn't get those things working. I just seen it looks like everything's just clicking now. The Gators look like they're finally firing on all cylinders, you know. It's not perfect. No football team's ever going to be perfect. They got things to work on. But it looked like a really good team. It looked like we got some good games coming up ahead of us, and looks like we're doing pretty good now.
Yeah, like, the thing I noticed is that, you know, just those first few games of the season, we just looked flat, just really flat. And the play calling just wasn't very creative. I thought Steve Adazio wasn't doing a very good job with that. But, you know, we saw a lot of different packages, saw some Wildcat formation against Kentucky, and, you know, led to a lot of points. So, you know, it was a good win. And, you know, let's not forget defense. Defense played a great game, too.
Defense made some stops.
Fantastic.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to begin a segment now called Fourth Down. And what we're going to do is we're going to go through four Gator topics, and we're going to have the opportunity to either go for it in that we agree with it, or we're going to punt, which means we disagree with it. So the first statement is that Trey Burton is a more dynamic playmaker than Jeff Dimps. So I'm going to give this one to Will, so go ahead.
You know, I would go for this one every day. I think Trey Burton's a fantastic player. He plays three different positions, wide receiver, quarterback, and tailback. He can pretty much do anything. He had one pass for 42 yards, five catches for 37 yards and a touchdown, and five carries for 40 yards and five touchdowns. You know, as probably everyone's already heard already, six touchdowns in a game is a school record for Florida, and he even beat Tim Tebow's record. You know, what makes this really amazing is that it's not like he was given the ball on every play. On every single one of his carries, he was able to score, and it was an 8-yard average. That's not something anyone can do. I mean, maybe someone can get lucky and get maybe two of them, but five is really phenomenal. You know, Jeff Dimps is another phenomenal player. He's fantastic. He carried the ball eight times for 57 yards. But, you know, he's not as dynamic as Trey Burton in the sense as dynamics. You know, he can run the ball great, he can catch the ball, but what's different about them is that he's a playmaker in the sense that he's forced to be a playmaker. Against Miami and South Florida, he carried over, each of his carries was average over 12 yards, but he was the only person on the team that would play well. You know, everyone else there was at, as Griffin said, they were flat. But Trey Burton, he really adds to a team that's already great and brings them to another level.
All right, Griffin, what's your take?
You know, I'm gonna have to punt it on this one. Actually, I'm gonna have to disagree because you know you look at the stats. Trey Burton, I'm not disagreeing that he's a good player. He's a great player. He's a fine athlete. Just like Will said, the many positions he plays, he's a great athlete. But you look at his stats. He's had eight touchdowns so far this season. Six of them were against Kentucky. You look at Jeff Dimps, and he might not have as many touchdowns or he might not have as many stats like that, but Jeff Dimps has a history, and I got to stand behind the man with the history every single time because Trey Burton is doing a dang good job this season. He's doing a fine job, and he's coming out, and he's making plays, and he's being a playmaker, yes, but Jeff Dimps has been there, and he's carried this team many a drive, many a play, you know, through different seasons, and he's just got the history. He's been there for us before. So I just got to say that in terms of being a playmaker, I got to give it to Dimps because Dimps has the history, and he's proved himself. For Trey Burton, most of his touchdowns were from the Kentucky game. That's not just saying that he's some kind of bad player, but I'm just saying that Jeff Demps has already got his cards on the table. He's already said what he's there for, and he's already doing what he said he's going to do, what he's been recruited for. And he's like our number one man. He's our go-to guy. So I got to say that I'm going to punt it on that one because Jeff Demps is where it's at.
All right. I'm going to side with Will on this one. I'm going to go for it. And, you know, Jeff Demps and Trey Burton, they're our best two options in offense right now. You could easily say Jeff Demps finds a hole, bam, he's gone. It's pretty obvious. And then, you know, Trey Burton, I go with Trey Burton because of his versatility. As Will said, you know, he plays quarterback, he's a runner, and he's a receiver. So, you know, there's endless possibilities to have him line up in the Wildcat formation. See, most teams, when they see a receiver or a running back line up as a quarterback, you know, they can pretty much guess it's not a Wildcat sort of play. But Trey Burton has very good throwing arm, as we saw with his 42-yard completion in the game against Kentucky. So he's also the backup quarterback, so that adds to his resume right there. But, yeah, just Trey Burton, you know, he's just so versatile. At the beginning of the season, Urban Meyer said that he was just going to look for a way to get him on the field no matter what because he's a great playmaker. And, you know, he did just that against Kentucky. And, you know, with the way this team is starting to click now on offense, John Brantley's looked more confident, and he showed a tendency to throw to Burton. With Burton's five catches, I think five or six catches, I don't quite remember, against Kentucky. But, yeah, so I think that Burton is the better playmaker just because there's more ways to use him. See, Demps, he has to find a hole or get around the edge because, you know, the Gators have tried running Demps up the middle. And, you know, while he's had moderate success, he's not nearly as dangerous as he is when he hits the open field. So I'm going to have to go with Burton on that one. All right, guys, we're going to go ahead and move on to second down. The second down topic is this. The offensive outburst by the Gators Saturday resulted from a bad Kentucky defense. So I'm going to go ahead and give this one to Will.
You know why I punt with this one? I feel like they really outshined them in previous games. They looked a lot better than they had. When you look at their first game against Miami, no question that defense was much worse than Kentucky's. Let's keep in mind that Kentucky is an SEC opponent, and any team, even including Vanderbilt and Mississippi State, all of them should be kept up to a higher standard. They play SEC teams week in and week out, and they find ways to win. You know, Florida only scored 38 points on Miami, but against Kentucky, they were able to score 48. That's not just a defense. I mean, if you look at it, the Kentucky defense there is going to be better, so it obviously took more of an offensive effort. Moreover, if you look at the Miami game again, a lot of the points that came for Florida came from the defensive side. So you can see there that the offense had a lot more success against Kentucky. Another thing you got to look at is Mike Pouncey was able to keep his snaps under control. He let the offense go into their rhythm, and you know, if a team can't keep their fundamentals down, it can really hinder their own success. So with Mike Pouncey able to keep that under control, the offense found its rhythm.
Absolutely.
All right, Griffin?
No, I'm going to have to go for the same thing. I'm just going to have to punt the ball. Definitely going to punt because I see that, just like we said before, you know, the Gators are finally clicking. It's not the fact that we were playing some kind of bad team with some kind of poor defense, because just like Will said, this is an SEC team. People might say, oh, it's just Kentucky. Well, it's an SEC team. You look at any SEC team, and they're going to play some of the best people, some of the best teams probably in the nation. So any SEC team should be held to a higher standard. So if you can put up more points on an SEC team than you could on a non-SEC team, on a non-divisional
game. Non-BCS team.
And on a non-BCS team, exactly. If you can put up more points on them, on an SEC team than on them, that shows that it's not just the defense. It's your offense really working towards you, you know? The defense for Kentucky might have been a little lacking because, you know, we did put some points up on the board on them quite a bit. But it's not just the bad defense. If it was just the bad defense, then we would have still been making drops, bad snaps. We'd have still been having errors, and we might have won, but we might not have won by such a great margin. Excuse me. But so the margin that we won by really makes it seem like, yeah, their defense might not have been up to par, but our offense was so good and clicking so much that it really fired on that, and it really exposed that, and really, really won the game by working with those two things together.
Yeah, I'm going to have to punt on this one as well. You see, I feel like that just, you know, an improvement in the play calling and just, you know, just finally the development of the team has really come along. You see, at the receiver position, Deontay Thompson had 86, 87 receiving yards in the game. Carl Morrow really came along. Of course, Trey Burton had a great, great game. You know, Jeff Dent wasn't bad either. You know, it's just this team's finally coming along. John Brantley finally eclipsed 200-yard mark this season. He had 248 passing yards, and you know, the exception.
Did he?
Yeah, he did.
That's good.
Yeah, first time he hit the 200 passing yard. And actually, earlier this season, Urban Meyer really put an emphasis on the passing game. He said that John Brantley must be a 200-plus yard passer if we want to succeed. And Brantley did just that Saturday night.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what he is. He's a passer. He's not a runner like Tebow.
Yeah, exactly.
He's got to feed to the passing game for sure.
And excuse me. And the other important thing is that the running game is hitting all strides too. And I think an increased role from Mike Gillisley and Emmanuel Moody running the ball is really helping out with in terms of carries. And you know, going back to Brantley, he had a great game, and you know, he overthrew Amarius Hines in a couple of deep balls that, you know, probably could have gone a long way. But, you know, I mean, we can nitpick about everything. We won 48-14. So, I mean, it's not like we should be, you know, nitpicking and stuff. A win's a win. And this is arguably our most impressive win of the season. Not arguably. It was our most impressive win of the season.
Absolutely.
So we're just going to go with that. All right. We're going to go ahead and head the third down. Okay. So Florida will win the SEC East. And I'm going to give this one to Will.
I don't really see how anyone else could argue on this one. I'm definitely going for it. You know, if you don't know the teams in the division, it's Florida, South Carolina, it's got Tennessee, Vanderbilt, and
Georgia,
and
Kentucky.
Yeah. You know, right now, the only other team that even looks like they could, bring anything to the Gators is South Carolina, and they just lost yesterday against Auburn. I don't see any question. I mean, Vanderbilt hasn't even won a conference title since 1923, and then they were in the Southern Conference. They've already beaten Tennessee, and they've already beaten Kentucky, so obviously they're not going to give them a problem in the division. And, you know, Georgia has been an extreme disappointment this year. It kind of looks like Mark Richt is going to have some problems with job security.
Definitely.
So, you know, I'm giving this one to Florida all the way.
All right, Griffin?
You know, on this one, I definitely got to go for it because I'm seeing all the same things that pretty much everybody else is seeing. Excuse me. Because what other teams do we have in the conference that we might be going against? We might be going against, you know, Georgia, like in terms for the title. We're going to be playing Georgia, South Carolina. And, you know, I never underestimate Georgia. No matter what kind of season they have, Georgia always brings their A game, and they always give us a run for their money at the Florida-Georgia game because there's such a bitter rivalry between the two teams. I mean, they always really, really bring their A game no matter what's happening. So Georgia, I don't think they're going to be completely a disappointment this season. I don't think they're to be completely overlooked. But that being said, I still do think that the Gators are going to be able to overpower them fairly easily because, you know, we're firing on all cylinders. We got some great playmakers. We got some good people out on the field. And they look like they're, I don't know, just not really quite all together out on the field. So Georgia might be a bit of a tough opponent, but I think we will come over them. And South Carolina, I think it's the exact same thing. They're a good team. There's no getting past that. You know, they got the old ball coach. You know, he's going to do good things with the team. But I think with the rivalry that's there, just like I said with Georgia, we're going to really, really want to beat South Carolina. Because you only got really two kind of Gator fans. You got the Gator fans that like South Carolina because Spurrier was there, and then you got the Gator fans that hate South Carolina because Spurrier's there.
Yeah.
And so it's obvious we have a rivalry with them because of Steve Spurrier. So I think the team's really going to step it up because the main other SEC East games that we have are against rivalries. They're against very important games that we want to win. It's not like, oh, it's just another game. Let's go out there and win. It's let's beat Georgia. Let's beat South Carolina. So it's against teams that we have a history of wanting to beat, especially. And I don't think the teams are looking that challenging anyway, so I'm definitely going to go for it. I think we're going to win the SEC East, no problem.
Yeah, I would go for it as well. You see, the important thing is, you know, with the exception of the Alabama game, Florida's toughest SEC home games for the rest of the schedule are literally home games. You have South Carolina and LSU come to the Swamp, and, of course, Georgia game in Jacksonville this year. But, you know, just to play devil's advocate for a minute here, you know, South Carolina has a pretty great team this year. They have a freshman running back, Marcus Lattimore, who is just a great athlete, very fantastic football player. Auburn held him to just 34 yards rushing, which, you know, was very shocking, you know, because he's a great player. But, you know, Marcus Lattimore, he can run the ball. And, you know, Florida, you know, they wrapped up Randall Cobb pretty well against Kentucky, but they had some trouble with B.J. Daniels and his quickness in South Florida. So it'll be interesting to see Lattimore go up against that defense. But, yeah, I you know, Florida's the most talented team in the South Carolina, Florida, the most talented teams in the East, and you know that the Florida South Carolina game at the end of the season, they're gonna be playing each other most likely with the East on the line, and you know, I really don't see Florida losing that one. Of course, back in 2006, Spurrier came to the Swamp and nearly beat us. We got that lucky block, you know, not lucky, I would say, but you know, we had that blocked kick from Jarvis Moss that saved our tails. But
that game saving block.
Yeah, but hopefully we won't need one of those this year. But yeah. You know, you never know. College football is a crazy sport, so.
I wouldn't worry too much about it. You know, they still have Stephen Garcia, and he may be a senior right now, but he's been the epitome of inconsistency at South Carolina. If South Carolina wants to be a factor in the SEC, they got to get a new quarterback.
Can't be a powerhouse without a quarterback.
Spurrier's always been one quarterback away at South Carolina, you know? Like, he always starts the season off great and then just tail off. Spurrier had great quarterbacks.
Yeah, South Carolina's always been a story of what ifs. Oh, what if they had a Tim Tebow? Or what if they had a John Brantley? Exactly. Because there's definitely playmakers on that team. We're going to have to watch out for sure. There's definitely playmakers. But the question is, can they get a dynamic quarterback to bring it all together? That's the question.
All right. Now, here's the fourth and final topic. The biggie. Florida will beat Alabama this upcoming Saturday. So, Will, take this one.
I'm going to go for it. The reason I have us going for it is...
Going for it. Wow. Number one team in the country.
Yeah, I know. I wasn't so sure before yesterday, but watching part of the Arkansas-Alabama game, you know, if Arkansas had just continued playing the way they had played in the first half, they would have no doubt beat Alabama. And the important thing of that is it shows Alabama can be beat. They are a team that has weaknesses.
Yeah, they're not invincible.
They are not invincible, absolutely.
Definitely not.
This game, when Florida's playing Alabama, it is in Tuscaloosa. So, of course, that's going to be a terrible environment for the Gators. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Florida, after finally putting it together and playing a good game yesterday against Kentucky, I think they're going to ride that momentum. And that momentum is going to be fueled by the revenge factor in the SEC championship game last year.
Absolutely.
You know, I do think that the Gators are mature enough. They've got plenty of players that are not freshmen. And even though Trey Burton is a freshman, he showed that he can certainly carry the team. The real question, in my opinion, is Florida does win, will the two teams meet in the SEC championship? And if they do, you know, it's very difficult for a team to beat another team twice in 1 year. And good would point. They be able to beat Alabama a second time?
Oh, yeah. That'd be a rough one. All right, Griffin.
You know, on this one, despite all the good things I've been saying about the Gators, and I do think they are one of the best teams in the SEC East, I'm going to have to punt on this one. Because, you know, what I'm seeing is as great as the Gators have been playing, we still do have a young team. We still have – this is the first year. No matter what you say about John Brantley or how well he's been doing, this is his first year as our starting quarterback. The Tim Tebow offense, everybody's been talking about it. Everybody loves Tim Tebow. We all know that. But the Tim Tebow offense, you got to realize, was a running up the middle, give me the ball, coach. I want to hit somebody. You know, let me – you know, it was a strong offense. Granted, Tim Tebow had great accuracy. He had a throwing arm. It was definitely an accurate throwing offense, but it was a strong, up-the-middle offense. They're used to a quarterback that gets on the field and isn't afraid to drop his shoulder and hit somebody. John Brantley's not that kind of quarterback. So just the fact that we have to make that transition, it's not a bad one. Every team has to do it once they lose their senior quarterback. So it's not the fact that we're a bad team right now. It's just the fact that our offense was one way, and now we just got to adjust it. We have to correct it. So we're still in the rebuilding stages. Do we have playmakers? Absolutely. Do we score touchdowns? Yes. Are we going to win some games? Yes. Some great games. Because John Brantley is a very good quarterback. Very highly recruited in high school, just like Tim Tebow was. So he's a great quarterback. We've got some great playmakers. But I still just think we're a little too young. You know? We're just not quite there, unfortunately. But I think we'll be doing a good game against Alabama. Of course, I'm obviously going to hope they win, but I just really don't know if we can pull it out on this one. So I'm going to punt the ball.
Yeah, Griffin, I'm going to side with you there. I'm going to punt. Alabama's the number one team in the country, and for a reason. They have the best 1-2 punch at running back in the country with Mark Ingram and Trent Richardson. Those guys are just simply great.
Yeah, fantastic.
Beating a dead horse by telling this story again, but Greg McElroy hasn't lost a game since 8th grade. He's just a winner. He's gritty, gutty. He's a veteran. You know, that kind of stuff. You know, it just Florida. I just think this Florida team's just a little too immature right now. I mean, granted, they did go on the road and beat Tennessee. You know, I mean, even though Tennessee's having a down year, you know, I mean, winning at Neyland is still really tough. And, you know, just, I don't know. I'm just, this Alabama's just good. Like they faced a scare against Arkansas last weekend, but you know, they did what championship teams do. They buckled down and they won that game.
I guarantee you after that scare against Arkansas, their coach probably got on practice and said, "Here's what we did wrong, boys, now let's fix it." That's the thing about Alabama, is I know that they've got a great coaching staff. So anything that they did wrong or anything the coach didn't like, I guarantee you he reamed those boys and he made them fix it.
Yeah, Nick Saban, he's
a tough coach.
Yeah, he's one of the best coaches in the country, and you know, as is Urban Meyer, but yeah.
Does it hurt to say that?
What?
Does it hurt to say that?
It kind of does. It
kind of does, but you know, you got to respect the man.
Got to give the devil his due.
Yeah, but I want to bring up an interesting quote from Gators defensive tackle Jay Howard. He said yesterday that Mark Ingram is no different than any other running back.
Whoa.
You know, I admire the confidence there, but this is Mark Ingram, Heisman Trophy winner Mark Ingram. This guy, you know, he's got the combination of size and speed that kind of concerns me that they're treating him like any other running back.
Am I the only one seeing the relation between Ingram and Jerome Bettis?
Oh, yeah.
Can we say maybe that Ingram's the bus junior? We say that?
All right, yeah. I go for that right now. But, yeah, just Mark – I mean, Mark Ingram is a fantastic running back. And, you know, Jay Howard, he's actually had a very good season this year so far, playing well in the defensive line. But I sure hope the coaching staff isn't treating Mark Ingram.
Urban should probably talk to Jay about that.
Yeah.
He's had a little bit of problems in the past with, Brandon Spikes and other players, like, saying things in the media when they really shouldn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember back when Miami came over to the Swamp, a player said, is that for winning championships? Because if so, we're the one winning championships now, so that we're technically the U. Huh? And, you know, that was all over ESPN, and, you know, he really shouldn't have said it even though they won. But that's the type of thing that gets other teams riled up and makes them want to beat you more.
Exactly.
Yeah, you may or may not believe in bulletin board material, but you know, if you insult the champions, they're gonna come and smack you hard.
They're gonna come and they're gonna want to win. It's all about who wants it.
All right, guys. Well, you know, I just want to talk about some. Yeah, that completes our fourth down segment. But I just wanted to talk about a couple more things from the Kentucky game. You remember that one point in the game where the entire offensive line jumped offsides? You know, and then the referee comes down and says. False start on the entire offensive line. I never heard something like that.
False start on everybody.
Everybody.
Good job.
It wasn't just one guy. It was everybody. Just fantastic.
I remember one time, I don't even remember what game it was. It might have even been a pro game. They called a false start on the quarterback. Now, I know a lot about sports. A good bit, you know, and I know about all the flags and all the penalties and all the things you can get, but false start on a quarterback, isn't he supposed to juke and move and do things to get the defense to jump? How do you get a false start on a quarterback? I just don't get it.
That's crazy. Yeah, but also, another thing, every single touchdown scored was by number 8
mm-hmm.
against Kentucky Saturday, because Jeremy Brown, cornerback, who, by the way, is doing a phenomenal job this season, should not go overlooked. You know, we lost Joe Hayden. There was a big question mark at that other corner spot opposite Janoris Jenkins. And, you know, Brown's really picked up the slack. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not sure how many interceptions he has. And, you know, I probably should have looked that up earlier. But yeah. He did have that pick six against Kentucky. And, you know,
beautiful pick six.
Having a great season so far. And, you know, just as the D is total, you know, they lead the NCAA in interceptions.
Great.
So,
you know, Janoris Jenkins has been playing fantastic.
Yeah, they definitely got some big shoes to fill, but you know, from Joe Hayden. But they're definitely stepping up. They're definitely doing a good job on it.
Yeah, just got Will Hill back in the Tennessee game.
Yep.
So
I don't know if you guys saw that hit Will Hill put on Janoris Jenkins.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I was worried.
That was ridiculous.
That was pretty bad.
Yeah, I was worried for a second there.
For anyone who didn't see it, it was Janoris Jenkins about to intercept the ball in the end zone, and Will Hill comes and lays him out.
Yeah, it was bad.
Yeah. Well, speaking of the end zone, Deontay Thompson, is he going to keep dropping touchdown passes?
Oh, man.
What is with this guy?
It hit him in the hand.
I know. It just right in his breadbasket falls through. And, you know, I mean, I'm going to give Deontay some credit, though. I mean, he's been having a pretty good season. He leads the team in catches and receiving yards. But, you know, the touchdowns are just really – I mean, he's really having a hard time catching those passes.
That's what you're on the field to do. You're on the field, move the ball, catch the ball, make touchdowns. Can't win if you don't make touchdowns. He's doing a great job catching the ball. I'm with you, Joe. He's doing a great job on that. But if you don't catch touchdown passes, that's a little more – you can catch 20 passes down the field, make a bunch of yards. But if you don't make the one touchdown pass, then it wasn't worth anything.
Yeah, that's really a mental problem. You know, it's one thing practicing and being able to catch in practice, but once you're in front of 90,000 people in the Swamp and
it's tough.
Hundreds of thousands more on television, on national television,
yep.
It's pretty hard to overcome that mental problem.
Yeah, all I know is that if Florida's going to take down Alabama next weekend, they're going to need all of their receivers to catch those passes.
You got it. It's going to have to hold on. Yeah, we got to be fired on every single cylinder. We got to have everybody catching balls.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this first edition of Gator Raiders. Be sure to check out Gatorade.com. That's Gator R-A-I-D, not the sports drink, Gatorade.com, for more insights. And I say we did pretty well. First show, right?
Yeah, pretty decent.
You know, I mean, love us or hate us. You know, we're trying our best. Yes. But
definitely more coming soon. Keep checking up, guys.
All right. Well, that's it for Gator Raiders. And everybody, go Gators.